Hello and welcome to another episode of the When Wrestlers Act podcast. I'm John Cronshaw and I'm joined today by my good friend Colin Cox. How are you doing today?
John, how are you doing?
I'm not bad, thank you.
Good.
See what you did there? You turned it around on me. That's an interesting way to start. So what we watch today is what I can only describe as Series 4, Episode 15 of Third Rock from the Sun.
Not 30 Rock.
This is Third Rock. This is a different kettle of fish altogether. Now, I've not watched Third Rock from the Sun in years.
Nope, not me.
I remember it used to be on, I think it was BBC Two around tea time.
Probably. I think that was when they couldn't afford the Simpsons anymore.
Yeah, or before, even before that. I think it'd be Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Third Rock from the Sun kind of time. Yeah, I used to quite like the show back in the day. Now, not so much. It opened up with a jazz hit.
Yes, a jazz hit.
A jazz hit, which is, for those familiar with orchestral hits, it's kind of that, but imagine that with jazz, kind of trumpets, trombones, all those kind of...
It doesn't matter what key you press, it'll always come out the same.
It started off with a filthy noise, some weird graphics of things bouncing off the earth, and immediately... We're in a gym.
I saw Sally, and my first question was, well, it's more of a statement. I said, I can't remember whether or not I used to think she was attractive, and you cut me straight off there, and yeah, I can see that now, but I was young.
Hey, I mean, you know, we've, it's that whole thing of, you know, body-wise, you know, not bad at all. The face looks just like... So, you know, one of those stress balls that you get that you kind of batter around a bit and squash and squeeze and it just looks a bit kind of squidgy. It was a bit like that.
So let's steal one from the Viz Profanosaurus then. She can be described as a Bob Fock. That's B-O-B-F-O-C, which is Body of Baywatch, Face of Crime Watch.
There we go. So, yeah, so we've got... So evidently she's going out with some fat police guy who's a bit of a geeky Chief Wiggum type character.
Yes.
Didn't get his name. But
I can't understand how that person gets to be in the police service.
Yeah, well, it's America. I don't know, maybe they've got different criteria to get in.
Possibly.
So they're going to the gym and he's saying, this is where all the police come and work out and, you know, they sweat on a regular basis, on a day-by-day basis. There's a joke. He goes, oh, but I've never been here before.
I thought that was quite a good joke.
You know, because he's fat.
Because he's fat.
And he's going on about this new recruit and how great this new recruit is. And, you know, he keeps singing the praises of this new recruit, this new rookie. And then strongest, most talented new rookie they've had in a long time.
You've got Sally, who's basically, she wants to just challenge everyone to a fight.
Yeah. But I think the impression is this is going to be some big guy who's going to come out. And it's not. It's China.
The one from Backdoor into China fame.
Yes. Why not?
Are we reviewing that at some point?
I don't know. Could it be classed as acting? she might be performing. And she might be performing acts. But I don't know whether it's described as acting. And to be honest, I really don't want to see that.
No.
To be honest. At least not with you. China's introduced. And I think this was probably about 1999. And she's pretty ripped.
Yeah, but she's also lovely.
She's character-wise, very...
genteel.
Genteel, yeah, I think that's a very, very apt description.
Like a gentle giant.
Hmm. And there's a character who's with them called Harry.
Oh, God, that thing.
Yeah, who really likes Janice. That's
he
her
does.
Name. She's Janice the police lady. This Harry...
Or should it be Hammy?
He was... annoying all the way through. Any time he was in the programme, I wanted to punch him.
Mm.
He had a face, he had a voice, and just a kind of general air of punchability.
He was American Dad before American Dad was cool.
He was just the worst.
Every character off that isn't the police person.
Yeah, he was just very, I don't know, perhaps it just kind of fits into his character, but it was very infuriating. And
whoever came up with that character should be shot. It wasn't that bad a programme, but he just dragged it down. Every scene that had him in it just made me want to punch your TV.
Well, let's not do that, because otherwise this will ruin the podcast. Well, won't be able to watch episodes in future weeks. You know, we've got this set up then. Harry likes Janice. Sally's threatened by her. And it cuts to the credits, which are bad computer graphics of space with what can only describe as kind of swing rock and roll music.
Sort of surfer music.
Oh, just the worst. And then, again, finish with a jazz hit. A horrible noise.
Ah!
Yeah, make a lesser man's bowels collapse and poo where he was sat. We then cut into the show, and we've got... I don't know who they are. There's basically some geeks sat around a computer screen.
I think they're just regular sidekick characters.
Yeah. Again, it's this thing again. If we'd watched the whole series building up, maybe it'd make more sense. But they just seemed like geeks at a computer. And they were there bragging about how much money they were making on the stock market.
And love interest of Richard Lithgow, man alien thing.
Yeah. Dick. That's his name is.
Oh, that's clever, because his real name in real life is Richard. So it means that... It's slightly different from his real name, but it doesn't, when he's reading it in his script, it's not as difficult for him to memorise.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, it's, you know, when you get kind of weirded out, when you see people out of context, see people in, you know, completely different roles. This guy, my two reference points for him are, he's a dad from Bigfoot and the Hendersons, and the dark, disturbing Trinity serial killer. From Dexter. You've not watched Dexter, have you?
No, I've seen bits and just wasn't for me.
Yeah, it got really bad, but that series, he is excellent in that series. He's very good. That made it kind of a bit creepy in a way. Gave a new dimension to his character, which I don't think was intended at the time this was made. Dick, for some reason, he decides he's not going to be outdone by these people. And kind of starts boasting about how much money he's made off the stock market. And says, oh, well, you know, I've made so much money that I've just booked 6 days in Cancun. Which is a lie. And his girlfriend, Mary, who's, if I remember rightly, now this is going back, I think that her role is that she's a teacher or a head teacher, maybe.
She's certainly someone.
Yeah, she's certainly a character
in
this program. I mean,
what does Dick do?
Well, he was wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And he ends up... I don't want to give the game away for what he ends up doing, so he does, let's say, have an executive role. What is it? Mary's all over him, and she's like, oh, fantastic, 6 days in Cancun. He's like, yeah, 4 days in Cancun. She's like, I thought you said six. He's like, yeah, 3 days in Cancun.
That was funny.
That was you know, a good line. End of the scene. And between each of the scenes, remember, there's a bad graphic of... Maybe planets, a bit like a pinball machine, with things bouncing around, and a jazz hit.
It's not always a jazz hit. It could just be a little bit of like saxophone music.
Yeah, or even like a guitar flourish where it goes... like in surf music.
Yeah. They seem to do it in all American comedies. Every between scene, there'll be... Like, in an episode of Friends, there'll be some saxophone music and you'll see a building from the outside for no reason.
Well, it's to set the scene as to where it is, because otherwise nobody would ever be able to tell from the interiors.
So on this, is that because it's always a picture of the Earth on their crappy graphics? So it's taking place on Earth.
Yes, it's actually a very, very clever satire. Yes. Because, you know,
It could be anywhere.
Because their scale is the universe. You know, they're aliens from... Far off galaxy, I assume. So yeah, we come back and Dick is there with some young lad who looks a bit like...
He looks a lot like Randy Orton.
He certainly does.
He looks like a 12-year-old Randy Orton. He's got the exact same face. It was absolutely creepy.
It was a bit. And he's kind of giving stock advice, isn't he? And his name's Tommy, but we found that out much later in the episode. So at this point, we just knew him as the Randy Orton guy. And he's using the analogy of eggs and baskets, and Dick picks some eggs up and he goes, yeah, I'll make lots of money if I put all these eggs in the one basket.
And in the one container.
Oh, the one container, sorry. And he goes, what, you're going to put all your eggs in one basket? He's like, no, in one container.
In one bucket.
If you lose...
Forget about the basket.
If you lose, what if I win? No, but if you lose... but I win. It kept kind of going backwards and forwards.
I thought that was a good argument.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the whole double-edged sword of throwing caution to the wind on the stock market. End of that scene, we get, again, planets, probably a saxophone noise, maybe a little surf music guitar.
At least it's not slap bass.
It's not, although it, you know, it could easily descend into that. Next, we cut to Sally in her attic lifting. What was it? Weights.
She's doing curls, like dumbbell curls. But you look closer, they're not dumbbells; they're garden gnomes.
Yeah, I quite like that. I didn't notice that at first. I thought that was a nice little touch, to be honest. So yeah, so she's doing the curls with the garden gnomes, and it ends up, you know, she confesses to Harry that she feels a bit threatened by Janice. You know, she basically says something like she thought that she was the toughest woman in Rutherford, which is probably the name of the place they are.
Yes.
And she kind of feels, what, like that she needs to reassert her dominance or whatever?
Her manlyhood.
Yeah. Because she's a warrior. Yeah, so then we get another cut. We get, again, planets. Bad computer graphics in gaudy colours. And what I assume to be either a jazz noise or another surf music guitar flourish. And what is it? We cut to Dick and the boy, Tommy, there at their laptop buying stocks.
Yes.
And they go for a company. Can you remember the name of the company, Colin?
No, I forget.
Eversol.
Eversol.
Eversol.inc.
Ah.
Yeah.
Is there a pun in that that's gone over my head?
I don't know.
Okay.
I did like the touch later on. We'll go back to that. But Eversol, you know, it sounds like what a solvent company maybe.
they sort of both press the enter key together.
Yeah.
Because it's a big undertaking.
Well, they buy, what, $100 worth of shares?
Possibly.
I think that was what he said. So it's, you know, it's not really a great amount anyway. And to be honest, when you take into account things like stamp duty and brokerage fees, you know, you're going to need a kind of lot of movement in the stock price to even cover your costs. Again, we get another cut. It goes to the planets. There's a bit of a kind of weird graphic of planets and colours.
Ugh.
And a jazz hit. Maybe a surf flourish with the guitar.
There's one, actually, that I remember, one of these graphics where there was an asteroid hurtling towards the Earth, but then the Earth sort of squidges up and moves out of the way. The asteroid goes past and then it's back to normal. And that's the sort of shit we had to put up with.
Yes. By repeating this between every scene, it can show you just how annoying it got, to be honest. So, yeah. Because, you know, I think they're meant to be just kind of throwaway cuts to show a transition. A bit like on, you know, on the Star Wars where they have the big swipe across instead of a normal cut. Next scene, Sally goes to see Janice.
Janice is at work in the police station looking very buff in her full uniform.
Yep, and Sally is there with her nipples, which seem to point out like daggers staring.
They were absolutely hypnotic.
Yeah, they were.
I couldn't take my eyes off them.
She challenges China to an arm wrestling match, and she starts and she goes, you know, after three, we'll start the arm wrestle. First time, she moves her arm, and then China just whacks it down really quick. And then she goes, oh no, I meant on three.
And China's being absolutely lovely about this as well. Oh, I'm sorry, did I get it wrong? But I sounded a bit insincere, but China is clearly a better actor than me, and she sounded genuine. Oh, I cocked it up. Let's do that properly.
So she goes, yeah, on three. So she does it again, and bang. Yeah, quickly down. There's no kind of contest. She goes, oh, no, I must have messed it up again. And so Sally tries for a third time. And on two, she tries to knock China down. But, you know, third time, bang again. So Sally, embarrassed, runs away.
Saying, don't worry, you'll get it next time sort of thing.
Yeah.
And China's looking a bit sheepish.
Yeah. And I think Harry kind of makes, I don't know, did he make some weird, like, dolphin noises or?
I don't know. I've tried to switch off every time that little twat was on the screen.
Yeah, so I don't know what what he was doing, but he was going... Yeah, I don't understand what was going on. Really don't. Next, we cut to kind of colourful planets with, I don't know, like a jazz hit and kind of surf music flourish. And then we go to Dick with Mary. See, I'm remembering the names.
Yes, you're doing well.
They're, he's looking at his stocks and his stocks have gone up. I think he bought the stocks at 38 and then up to 44. Which is quite a nice shift in a day, and he's like, "Oh, you can buy anything you want, no matter how frivolous or overpriced." And Mary's like, "Oh, okay then." And then they've got one of those comic routines, let's say, where he's looking at his pager,
and his stocks just started to drop.
Yeah, so his stocks plummeting, and she's saying things like, "Should I buy the size 6 or size 8?
He's saying, "Oh God, no!"
Yeah, God, no! Thing. Go higher!
All right, I'll go for the 10.
Yeah, and there's all So he's moaning at his stocks, and she's requesting that they, should I wear the one with the mesh and all this? And he's coming back with some response about the stocks. So yeah, that was vaguely amusing. It was a...
I'm sure that Kenneth Williams was probably turning on his grave.
For some reason, Dick insists that they buy both matching sarongs and sarongs that don't match.
Yes.
Didn't get that. Don't know why. I think it was meant to be funny, maybe.
So that fucking little shit Harry is supposed to be funny as well.
Colin, this is meant to be a family show. God.
So's that ruddy little... Something it's beginning okay. with C.
It's okay. It's okay.
Is Third Rock from the Sun supposed to be a family show? Because it's making me swear a lot.
We get colourful planets and what I assume to be kind of jazz hit, maybe a bit of a surf music flourish.
Yes.
To mark the next scene that comes along. And the next scene is the Randy Orton kid, Tommy, drowning his sorrows in a bar. How old was this kid meant to be?
I put him about 16.
Yeah, I thought he was quite young. For some reason, the other stock people are on the table next to them. And Dick starts talking to Tommy and goes, "Oh, why did our stocks go down?" And he goes, "Oh, it's because of rumours. You know, with rumours you can turn a high school sweetheart into a whore in moments." And he's saying that there's rumours about, what was it, bad financial...
Overspending,
that was it. Bad financial management at this company. And they're like, "Oh, well, can't we just, start our own rumours?" So they start talking really loud about how Eversol make toasters and that they're expanding into the Chinese market.
That rice is in the past and now it's all about toast.
It's all about toast. He's gradually leaning back until he's more or less kissing one of the guys from the stock market. Well, one of the people he was...
Yes. There's a good line from the woman there as well, where she said, "I won't go buy any shares in any company that I know something about."
Yeah.
I liked that. It shows how people place bets or do stock markets.
This is where the realisation comes that you buy stocks, you actually own part of a company. That's what you're buying. When you buy a stock, you're buying a share of the company.
He didn't realise. Dick didn't realise this.
I wonder if that will play in to a scene coming up.
What happens before that scene?
Well, thank you for setting me up with that. That's an excellent segue. Before that scene, we have another scene, which has a planet, a couple of planets, colourful kind of images. There's what I assume to be maybe a jazz hit or a bit of a surf rock flourish going on. So next we have Harry and Sally. I think they're in a garden or, just kind of... stood outside and they're talking, they're having a bit of a heart-to-heart. And Sally says she feels a bit threatened by this Janice, feels powerless. This is where they're kind of talking at cross purposes. So she's saying how much she doesn't like Janice. Harry's saying how much he does like her. He says, "She's the voodoo lady," which I'm hoping is a reference to the song from The League of Gentlemen.
I hope so as well.
By Creme Brulee.
The Black Magic Child.
Yeah. Voodoo lady. whatever happened to that show? That was a great one. Sally decides at this point that she needs to destroy Janice. Yeah, she needs to destroy China. And then it cuts to colourful planets
Yes, is there some sort of music?
Yes, there's maybe a jazz hit, maybe some, you know, kind of surf rock flourish going on, and then it goes into the next scene. Now this
was great. This was bloody brilliant.
Yeah, this actually turned it round for me, to be honest. This scene, I thought, was fucking brilliant.
Yes,
really enjoyed it. So, Tommy and Dick, you see them. They're in a lift.
In very smart suits.
Yeah, they're dressed as executives, they're in suits, and they go into Eversole's building. They start firing people, they start kind of
complaining that there's too much art, it needs removing.
Yeah, sell!
There's a group of three people drinking coffee, said that there should be one cup per group.
Yeah, and he's walking alongside the, the VP of marketing or something like that, and he goes, let's walk and talk. And he starts going, do you like your job and all this?
Oh, yes, the hours are good. There's excellent childcare. Right. You're working weekends, we're removing childcare, and you're fired.
So then at this point, they burst into the boardroom. Start complaining about how long and expensive the boardroom table must have been. And then they go, oh, you know, we own this company. And then a bloke called Mr. Eversole. Yeah, that's his name. Deal with it, Colin. It's not just a random business name. The guy, it's a family business. The guy's called Mr. Eversole. So Mr. Eversole, he calls security.
After Dick makes a speech about how they're the humble stockholder, but also the mighty stockholder.
Yeah, we are gods.
We are not your boss. We are gods.
It was great. That scene, that scene was comic gold. It really was.
It was.
It was fantastic. And then just like that, it cuts to what you describe as like graphics of planets in space. Maybe a kind of pinball thing going on, or
some music. I'm not sure how to describe it.
Well, I'd say it was either like a kind of jazz flourish, maybe a jazz hit, or
with a surfer hit,
maybe a surf rock hit, or a, you know, surf rock flourish kind of thing. And then we get back to the gym. Sally basically she's
there with her nipples.
Yeah, she is, and she's basically acting like a dick.
Mm.
She just goes in and starts on Janice. And go and shouts really loud in her face, "Prepare to die!" And this is where I think this might be China acting.
I think this might be for the first time as well. We've seen since we've started doing these podcasts a wrestler doing a bit of character acting.
Yeah, she starts to cry.
Yes,
she starts. You know,
she is that lovely. It's not a swerve or anything.
Yeah, because I thought she was going to cry and then she'd like, you know, give her a hug to comfort her and then throw her, you know, give her a suplex or something. No.
She's been the victim of bullying all her life because of her size and toughness. Mm. People are always picking fights with her.
Yeah, yeah.
She can look after herself, but she would rather it's not that way.
Yeah, but, you know, and she goes, she comes out of the line, "I'm a woman and I'm soft inside." Now, from what I hear, you can actually find this out for about $10,000 a night. She's, do you know what I mean? You can find out how soft her insides are.
I don't want to think about
for it. For money. She's apparently...
Are we going to put a link to this on the website?
Onto what? Her escort site?
Yes.
No.
Okay, not good.
So, yeah, so they kind of have a bit of a moment. They hug each other. Sally breaks down and cries.
All is well.
Comes to a realisation.
They're having a hug. At the end of the scene, while they're hugging, China says to Sally, "You're trying to flip me, aren't you?" And Sally crying says yes, and she just says, "It's not going to happen." And they carry on hugging. It was lovely.
A tender moment. And then we get a cut to kind of computer-generated planets.
Yeah, there's some music as well. It's like a surf music
Bit of surf rock, bit of a jazz hit maybe.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Dick. He's standing on the edge of something.
I think it says, because they live in suburban America... Classic suburbia in these things is always wooden houses with lots of trees.
Yeah, white picket fence.
White picket fence, all that sort of thing. And he's standing on the edge of a roof box or something like that. And he's threatening to jump.
He's lost. You know, he's lost all his money in the stock market, and he admits to Mary that they're not really going to Cancun. You know, he's going on about the roller coaster of the stock market clashing with the roller coaster of his emotions. You know, the more he's kind of saying this, the more Mary's getting pissed off with him.
She's just saying, "Jump,
yeah, jump, just jump," and then and then she ends up pushing him anyway.
Horrible woman.
Yeah, and he goes out with her. I don't know if that was my...
That's domestic abuse.
It is. You know,
it doesn't just happen to women. It happens to men as well.
He was at his most vulnerable. You know, he said that he went on this kind of emotional...
He confessed everything.
Yeah. And what did she do? She tried to end his life. What a horrible, horrible creature.
Mm.
We cut to these computer-generated planets and... They're kind of bouncing around, I think. I can't remember exactly what.
I think it's a bit like a game of billiards or something.
Yeah, it's something like that. And you get the, I think it's like a jazz hit and a bit of like a flourish of surf music going on.
Yeah.
And it cuts back to the gym. And China's, I don't know, she's kind of wearing kind of a bit, I would describe them as slutty clothes, slutty gym wear. She's wearing a shirt that is basically a little cropped shirt tied in a knot around her big fake boobs.
I thought they were her big, hard, real pectorals at this point in her career.
No, she definitely had a boob job at this point, because I seem to remember, I think it was in probably early 1998 with DX and, you know...
Oh, yeah, when she had that jaw thing going on as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, she had a lot of plastic surgery anyway around that point. So I think this was from 1999 anyway. Harry, remember that annoying one?
I've repressed it.
Think again. He turns up and they start having a wrestle.
Yes, it's the only bit of wrestling we see in the show where China gives him a very bad drop toe hold.
And he ends up on his back on the mat on the floor. And then it cuts to... I suppose what you call kind of computer-generated planets bouncing round, maybe.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bit of a kind of flourish of, you know, a bit of a jazz hit and, you know, maybe a bit of surf rock going on. You know, interchangeable, basically. And then we're at the end of the episode. And it's this point, I like this in American sitcoms, it's the point where everyone sits around and discusses what they've learned.
Yes. Well, I think they should do that in more comedies.
Yeah. So Sally's learned. What did she learn? That she can be vulnerable but still have her edge.
Oh, and at some point, Harry gets hurt, so there's that as well. I think he, as he's walking home, he gets landed on by Dick,
yeah.
We find out. He's not injured from the wrestling, it's just because Dick falls on him. Because
yeah.
I think he might have got somewhere with China, possibly, but that was...
It's all that money you made on the stock market.
It is.
What did you make of the episode?
It was better than I expected it to be, but my God, any scene that had Harry in it, he's just the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... China's acting. I was actually, I thought China did all right.
I thought she was fine.
Yeah.
No complaints.
I thought her acting was pretty convincing, well, given the context.
What I liked about it as well is there was no... The wrestler in her didn't come out. It was just, I'm going to be pretty wooden actor, cry a bit, not be the tough girl.
Apart from when she arm wrestled and gave someone a drop toe hold.
But that was more physical. I'm talking about... The acting!
Yeah.
The scene in the office was just brilliant.
No, that was great.
That made it into a good show.
Yeah.
I won't go out and watch another episode of Third Rock from the Sun, though.
No.
It just wasn't very good.
Maybe that scene with the business thing was, you know, that's kind of what it was like in the first couple of series. It was that good.
I mean, the episode itself... was good, but there's nothing there. There's no carrot that's dangled for me to grab to watch any more episodes. It just didn't do it for me at all.
I want you to imagine some kind of computer-generated planets. And, you know, maybe a jazz hit or a surf rock flourish.
Mm.
And then you can check out the website, whenwrestlersact.com. We've got the Twitter, @WWAPodcast. Got the Facebook, WWA Podcast, got the iTunes and the Audio Boom. No, it's Audio Boom now.
Because Audio Boom sounds like it's for 5-year-olds?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So it's Audio Boom now. But I think the old Audio Boom link still work, hopefully.
And I'm surprised if it didn't.
There's also a WordPress.com/WWA podcast. So, you know, it's all over the place.
There's a Facebook as well.
There is a Facebook, which I mentioned, yeah. So, you know, we tweet, harass wrestlers, and try and get them to name their favourite Hulk Hogan movie.
What's the best one we've had so far?
I don't know. Carl Bennett's responded. He said he's, you know, he likes a bit of, what was it, Ready to Rumble.
Mm.
Soko Val said she likes Ready to Rumble, I think it was, as well.
Well, if Soko Val suggests it, I mean, she's just lovely.
Yeah, Carl Bennett suggested for our Halloween episode we watch Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies, which could be the greatest film ever made.
Or
fine. All right, well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back in a fortnight. Cheerio.
Bye.